Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad that you are here. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there today. It's a good day. I posted this morning, and I love being a father. I love being a dad, and it's just a joy. And I got to thinking about it this morning when I got up about the way I feel as a father is nowhere near the way God feels as the father of looking down, you know, because I got to thinking about it, how cool it is. I look forward to hearing from my kids, be able to hear their voice, to see them. And he's the same way, even more. And he's glad you're here this morning. So I want to welcome you today to Eagles Way. You're in a good place. I want to challenge you right off the bat. We got a lot of good things happening today. It's really a special day for me. We're going to have water baptism after the service. But let's do this thing in progression the way that we're supposed to do it. And the first part of it is going to be praise and worship. Now, what I like to do is try to get people excited, okay? All right, now I want you to get excited because when you walked in this morning, how this first part goes is up to you. See, it's up to you. Like I told you the last time I did this, these guys are prepared. They've got the music ready. They got it all set. But it starts inside of you. What are your expectations? See, I'm excited about it. Are you excited? Wow, that was really good. All right, we can do better than that. I'm going to ask one more time. Are you excited? Yeah. Hey, we're fixing to praise our Father right now. So I want you to get to your feet. Also, I about forgot the business. We got a card here that's inside your bulletin. It is for members and for guests. Be sure and fill it out. Drop it in the offering plate. Look on the back. There are opportunities back there for you to fill in and check that. But be sure and fill that out and drop it in the box. That's how we know we're here. Now that I had to go back, let's do that again. Are you excited? All right. Well, let's praise the Lord.
Lost his sting, that we don't have to have the fear, that we can choose, God, to let you in, and you shatter it. You shatter it, and you break through, God, and you show us your glory, and that's what we ask for today, Jesus. Come in. Give us a taste. Let us see. You are here, Jesus. You are in us. You are all around us, God, and I just want you to overflow today, Jesus.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored.
Yeah. this next song that Randy's going to do, there's a line in regards to my burden becomes wonder. And I was listening to it at work yesterday, and the girl, she was like, well, wonder, that sounds like a negative. And I was like, no, think of wonderful. It's the seventh wonders of the world. It's amazing that he took these burdens or these worries or these frustrations and turned it into a wonder, because it was so amazing and just out of our minds of how he accomplished that wonder out of our burdens. And he is amazing for that. And I just, oh, he's crazy. That's awesome. Anyway, listen to the words. This is an amazing song.
And your mercy, having walked a broken road, here to fight this sinner's battle, here to make my fall your road. Turn my eyes to see your face. Oh,
us for what you have done for us, so that we can stand here. You took it all. I can't comprehend. And all of these songs we're singing today talk about how much we need you. How much we need you. How much we need you.
There's nothing worthwhile that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, we sing to you. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Thank you.
Your presence, Lord. Become more aware of your presence.
we are overwhelmed. You have flooded the atmosphere. So beautiful. We love you so much, Jesus.
Amen. Beautiful song. Good morning. How are you? Before Dr. Raff comes to speak, I want to say a couple of things. One is make sure you fill out your card today, a connection card. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for being here. We're glad you're here. I'm glad all of you are here. We're in a series called Relational Wholeness. How many know that everything that God has for us is about relationships? God laid on my heart years ago when I became the pastor that this church would be built on relationships. Love God with all your heart. Love each other. That's what it's all about. And if you're here today, and Dr. Ralph Martin's coaching or teaching School of Positive Thinking has absolutely made an awesome change in your life, would you just stand up? I just want you to stand up. Either the School of Positive Thinking or his personal coaching. I just want to look around you and see what a difference it's made in our lives. Amen? Awesome. You may be seated. This whole summer, this series is Relational Wholeness. I want to encourage you to be here. You miss a Sunday, you're going to miss something really neat about relationships. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, a lot of different speakers coming from a lot of different perspectives, so it's going to be really neat. Amen? So I'm planning to be here. I had a good week. Went fishing this week with some guys. If I was Jesus, I'd pick all of them as my disciple. And it was just a wonderful time, but we're glad to be here with you today. So would you welcome a good friend of mine and good mentor of mine and good mentor of yours, Dr. Ralph Martin. God bless you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Amen. Well, last year I spoke on Father's Day, and they went fishing, and they came back with tails. So last year on Father's Day, I spoke on trust but verify. And then this year, they posted pictures. They had a good catch. I don't blame them. I believe I'd have picked them as my disciples too. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Today is the first day of summer. Wow, could have fooled us, couldn't it? I told Francis the other day, I said, be sure to get our pictures out when we were in Jackson Hole, Wyoming in the last 3 years in January. And let's look at our vacation pictures again, have cool thoughts. As a man, think it's so easy, so I have cool thoughts. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I want to honor, and I do count this a great honor on the Father's Day, and honor all you fathers here today. And I want to especially honor today Reverend E.D. Goss, the founder, and that this church here started off as a thought. And then it went to a talk he had with Miss Callie Mae. And from the talk, Miss Callie Mae, here it is today. Some all these years later, amen. Look what God is doing, amen. And we want to honor, amen. Give God praise, amen. Isaiah said, look to the stone from which you've been hewed out of. So look to the stone and give God praise for that, amen. And I really want to thank God for that. And thank God for some fathers I've got to know in this house. The elders, a lot of the elders in the house, but especially two or three of the fathers here that really are to be honored. And that is Brother Keith Wesley back there. Amen. Let's give Keith, amen. Keith, my man. Amen. And Brother Joe Hardwick, amen. I tell you what, a great honor. I told Joe the other day, once I got rid of my Church of Knees dictionary and got my God dictionary out, and I looked under the word Father, and there was a picture of Joe and Keith. Stand right up beside it. Amen. And we thank God also for a father in the Lord, and that is Brother Billy Wood. Brother Billy, thank you. And we honor you today. Amen. You get what you want on your birthday? Well, you're that age now, you can have not because you ask not. So ask. Amen. Also, Brother Terry. Brother Terry Doss. Amen. True father of Israel. Amen. Of course, these men would not be anything they are if it hadn't been for their wives standing beside them and their children, their family. We honor you today. Matter of fact, all the fathers, stand up. Amen. Just all the fathers here, stand up. We honor you. Amen. We bless you. Now, how many wants a prophetic word? Well, two of you do, but all of you are going to get it. Amen. There's more to you than you see. There's more to you than you see. All you got to do is, anytime God gives a promise, what you must do is what I call the four A's. First, you have to acknowledge it. Then after you acknowledge it, then you have to accept it as truth. And then once you accept it as truth, then you've got there to allow it to run its course in you and through you. Amen. And before you know it, then it starts coming from you. From you. And I want to honor you and bless you today. And thank you so much for many, many, many of you here today being my friends. And so we bless you today. Okay. Brother Buren asked me the other week, a month ago, whenever it was. I don't know. I don't live in the past, so I can't tell you when it was. And he may not even said it. I just thought he said it, and it became real. Amen. He asked me what to speak today on relational, a series of relations. And, of course, you have to understand mine and Buren's language to each other. He said, I want you to speak on your part, relations with yourself. I said, okay, but for the liberal-minded, let's explain that a little bit more. Let me go ahead and give me another title for that side, relations with yourself. But it's how God loves you. It's how God sees you. Now, you got to remember, God doesn't see you as you see you. You see you as a human being. God see you as the sameness as Him. And you got a whole life to determine which one you're going to agree with, yourself or with God. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. God sees you as Himself. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and there God made man. And next verse 27 says, and there He created man. Now, which did He do, make man or create man? Well, it's the same. No, it's not. Two totally different Hebrew words. When He said He made man, that word made there is a Hebrew word which means He take that which was already here and make. Like if you go home and make a cake, you use what you already got. But create mean you're going to take something that is not here. Something that's not here. And you can call those things as though they are, that's not here, as though they are here. When He made man, took what was here, dirt. And there He formed a mud paddy, what we used to call them, toad frog houses, what we used to call them. Use it 55 and older, you know what I'm talking about. He made a form from dirt. He took what was here, made dirt. Dirt was here, formed you. But they created you by reaching over and breathing in that dirt. When He breathed into that dirt, man became a living soul, a living spirit. That dirt started breathing. And that was man. Now the word create in our image comes from Hebrew word mean sameness. Same. I know people used to have a problem when I would tell them, you know, you're of God. You're God. Oh, my God. I can't dare compare myself to that. Why? That lets me know you're thinking from the lower level, not the higher level. Now, when God breathed into man the breath of life, man only had one spirit. And it wasn't two spirits. It wasn't God's spirit and man's spirit. It was just God's spirit. There is no two spirits. God don't see two spirits. God only sees Himself. Sees Himself. Now, how man came about with his own spirit, man started figuring. You'll get that later. Man had a thought. And a thought led into thinking, and thinking led into talking. And that formed his ego. And then ego created its own spirit. So now man, most are filled with two spirits, ego spirit and spirit. And you get to choose which one going to drive. You get to choose which one going to think. Ego spirit is always trying to get you to God. Spirit thinking is always saying you're already God. You can't get to where you're already at. Now, they even teach that in Spalding County. You can't get nowhere where you're already at. You're already up, God. So I want to talk to you this morning very briefly about having relationships with yourself. And like John said, as he is, so are you in this earth. So really what I'm saying is, when you have relationships with yourself, you're having a relationship with God. Or when you have a relationship with God, you're having a relationship with yourself. Because in love, there's no separatism. There's no separateness. It's all sameness. Oh. You know, if you just hunt with me a little bit, a lot of times I say, boy, that dog there will hunt. How much Gilmore's property? I tell you what, but you turn that dog loose, it'll hunt. There is no separateness. It's all sameness. Why can't I see it? I'm born again. Why can't I see it? Just because you're born again don't mean you're born from above. You got to be born from above. What you need is an awakening, a conscience awakening. And once you get that awakening, wow, wow. Be glad to give you scripture, Jones. Thank you for asking for it. The prodigal son in the hog pen. He came to a conscious awakening. And his conscious awakening, his first remark out of his mouth was, what I came from. What I came from, what I can go back to. His conscious awakened, my God, son, you eating hog flop. Look what you left. Look what you went to sleep on, what you could have. And that's what we got to. Now, what religion has done, and I used to say bless religion's heart, but I don't even say that no more because I don't even want to bless it. It teaches you and me, taught me very well, I was a great student of it, that me and God were separate. And I always had to get to him. Had to get to him. Remember, religion will always teach Miss Penny and God. And Miss Penny needs to really work on getting to God. And the path from Penny to God is filled with banana peels. And you better be careful because it's easy to slip. When in actuality, there is no Miss Penny and God. It's just God. That's the greatest relationship you can have with God, is to define what God is. What God is. And the Bible only says six things God is. God is love, God is spirit, God is fire, and God is light. And those are four entities of energy that created the universe that you're from. Well, I want to just know about Jesus. Buren said something. We did a funeral together a couple of years ago, and standing at the graveside, Buren said something, and I'm very proud of him, always proud of him, but he said this. He said, if we could really stand here and see these graves, we wouldn't look at markers. We wouldn't see markers. We would see everybody in the glory of God that they were created in. And they're not going nowhere. We're still here. We're still here. Because you can't do away with energy. Now, I want to get into something this morning. And I really want you to hear me. And I got your attention. I know what you're thinking. What in God's name is he talking about, Ethel? Well, like Paul Harvey said, now for the rest of the story. The most important relationship you can ever have is to love people as they are. Because if you love them as they are, then you will see yourself. But you'll never see people as they are till you see yourself as you are. What are you? Your light, your spirit, your fire, your energy. What is great lacking in today's people well, in people, is the lack of maturity to be able to separate the people's act of the individual from the essence of the individual. Go back to what Buren said, that judging between right and wrong. Due to the lack of maturity, we can't discern the difference between the act that they commit and the essence thereof. If you saw the essence, for instance, I've heard this preached so many times, where the Bible said command us to love one another. Let me ask you something. If you're of love, from love, why do you need to be commanded to love? That should be automatic. But the reason it's not is because you don't believe you are. You got to know, once you are commanded to love, when was you commanded to love? 100,000 light years ago, when you were in the mind and thought of God. You came here, been pre-programmed to love. That is your essence. So when somebody does anything that's out of the character of that essence of love, then don't judge the act. Just simply say, that ain't my cup of tea. It's just not your cup of tea. Years ago, I would tell Frances, because she would always say, I don't understand why people do that. And the reason you don't understand why people do that, because you don't have their mind. If you had their mind, they would do, you would do what they do. And if they had your mind, they wouldn't do what they do. So there's only two spirits that you get to choose. Ego. Now remember, the ego's trendy. Me, myself, and I. And I got great relationship with me, myself, and I. But the spirit trendy is, it's all about others. What can I give others? What can I do for others? How can I bless others? And we'll show you this in a moment, some scriptures here. So the greatest relationship is to love yourself as God loves you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, I send this to Jason. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in others. Is that what it says? Let's see if Jason got this right. Then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone. When the last time you ever had just a rejoicing in yourself? That's relationship with yourself, folks. But because we've been conditioned to believe, you got to make me happy. Somebody got to make me happy. The church got to make me happy. Grandma got to make me happy. Husband got to make me happy. Well, now, when I started getting this several years ago and Frances got it, I didn't tell her exactly, but she said something to hurt me. She said, big boy, I want you to understand something. I'm not here on God's earth to make you happy. But you got to. You're my wife. That's what it says in the book. See, you're not here to make somebody happy. Friend said, I can't make you happy, Ralph, if you're not happy with yourself. So see, the most important relationship is, what kind of relationship are you going to have with yourself? That's why we got to understand our rejoicing. Put the scripture back up. I used to remember it. I'm close to 63 now, and I can't remember like I used to. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. And then you won't need your wife to make you happy. Then you don't need your husband to make you happy. Then you don't need your kids to make you happy. So far this morning, I've done heard from 4 of our 5 children. Happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day, happy Father's Day. I ain't heard from one of them yet. One of them I ain't heard from. And probably won't. Unless there's a need coming in his life before midnight. But that's business. I don't take it personal. I don't take it personal. See, when you have loving yourself, you don't take other people personal. You have no control over others, so you cannot take what they do or say to you personal. You got to understand the essence that they're from, not the act they do. Well, if they really was a Christian, they wouldn't do that. Who said? If I judge all Christianity by a few that I know, oh my God. They fit in my dictionary, come under heathenism. But they've been told all their life, no Jesus, no Jesus, no Jesus, no Jesus, no Jesus. You got to know Jesus, you got to know Jesus. Had a woman call me not long ago one night. Won't you pray for my son? Lady, Justified is fixing to come on. It's only 3 more episodes left. My God. I've been in this series here. Pray for your son. Yeah. He's getting baptized Sunday. Another 5 minutes. Justified, only got 10 more minutes on. And I'm here going to pray for your son who's going to get baptized. See, that's what she thought Christians ought to do. Follow me now. Me praying for your son on the phone while Justified is going off. I can't pray with a pure heart because I want to see Raylan Givens here before he goes off. This is the last season. See, but that was the religious. Let's do that. For what? I said, well, he'll be okay. You'll be all right. Just get your sleep. Turn him over to the Lord. Be like Jochebed. Who? Jochebed. Who is that? Moses' mother. You ever read Exodus? No. She probably had, but didn't know about Jochebed. When she could no longer protect little baby Moses any longer, she filled a bulrush, put him in a bulrush, pushed him out in the Nile River, and left him alone. God took it from there. Why do you do what you do when you do it? Because how you've been conditioned through other relationships, how you ought to do it. And never had a relationship with yourself and worked it out. See, why would Jesus tell us to work out our own salvation if that wasn't prevalent, if that wasn't important? Well, I can't work it out because Jesus done worked it out for me. Have you learned it? I know him. Didn't ask you, did you know him? I ask, have you become him? See, knowing Jesus is church and ease. You got to know Jesus. No, the Bible said you'd become as he is, so are you. Knowing. It ain't knowing him, it's becoming him. And that will happen once you realize that you're already him in flesh. See, you were a thought. Keith Wesley was a thought in the realm of the spirit before he ever became a word out of the mouth of God. Then once he became a word out of the mouth of God, his mama took it over from their body and gave him a body. And the word became flesh. And 9 months later, she gave birth to the Son of God or the daughter of God. I can't think that way. Why? I'm here to tell you, you've got to start thinking that way. You've got to start thinking. But you can't think until you start having a great relationship with yourself. I remember about a month after I got my doctorate degree, Buren came up and spoke at it. And I wanted Buren to speak at it. And he spoke at it. And about a month later, me and Francis were somewhere getting gas. And I heard this joke, which was good. And while I'm pumping gas, I let the one down, I reached in the car like that, and I'm telling Francis this joke I heard. I just remembered it. And she listened to the joke. She didn't think it was funny. And she said this, "Why, oh, Dr. Martin, that is so beneath you." What? Where you're to be, that's beneath you. From whose advantages? From mine. Where I'm standing, you should be up here. Oh, woman, let me get these cats in the car here. You don't realize something. I've been saved 39 years. You've only been saved 8 years. You can't know dare know as much as I know. Say, so you start reasoning this stuff out. That's ego. That's ego spirit. Remember, ego trend is me, myself, and I. I have to be right. And for me to be right, I got to have an opinion. And not only have an opinion, I got to be right. But when you're all spirit, you give up your opinion to be right. You give up your need to be right. And eventually you'll even give up your need to have an opinion. Because all opinion is from ego. Spirit never gave opinion. Spirit never, it's all knowing God that you're of. Well, why can't I think that way? Be like somebody in the 12th grade and someone in first grade saying, why can't I figure it like that? Because you ain't been in school long enough yet. You ain't learned enough. Maybe you quit repeating the same grade over and over. You may get it. Old boy told me one time, our pastor, he said, you know what, pastor, please, I'm getting a lot. I'm a fast learner. Really? Yep, well, when I was in school, I was the only one in the first grade that could still shave. Well, then you're learning fast then. You're learning fast. Well, yourself. Now, I'm going to give you an example to follow here. How many of you have pets at home? How many of you love those pets? Now, let me ask that, and let me ask the B part of that question. How many love them pets as much as you love yourself? Now you're getting it. If you want to know the essence or the purity of the love of God, look at your pet. Now, I have some friends I've been ministering to, and Francis has been ministering to them, and that is of the gay community. And they're dear friends of mine. So when I knew I was going to be speaking on the importance of self-love, I asked all four of them, I called all four of them, I said, I need you to do me a favor. Sure, Dr. Martin, what are you going to do? I said, I want you to give me your first thought on the importance of loving yourself. I want your first thought. Within a day, I had emails from all four of them. And all four of them said, to love myself, I had to get over what I thought what people said about me. How much people's opinions has effect in your character building. So one of them wrote me this. I'm going to read it like they sent it to me. Our pets has this all figured out. They are our best living examples of the love of God in action. Your pets take your mood swings, erotic behavior, and lunacy in stride. No matter how badly you mess up, your pet still loves you the same. Your pet isn't trying to change you into something that better suits their taste for you. I think I'll just play that over again. Your pet is not trying to change you into something that better suits their taste for you. Your pets accept you as is. If you cannot accept someone else as is, do not tire up their lives. Find someone you like as is, and someone who will accept you, warts and all. This is the secret of yourself in obtaining good relations with yourself as well as others. Now, the only way to get that, to see that, is you've got to see yourself that you are the essence of love. Only those that love themselves can see that. Now, they used to tell a old story one time, said, if you don't know which is your best friend, your wife, or your pet, take both of them and put them in the trunk of the car. And come back about an hour later and open the trunk and see which one's glad to see you. That's how you test love. One of the most difficult areas of our life is of self-love. Now, let me tell you why. Because we've been told, for instance, up to 3 years ago, if you'd had me to give you priority order, this would have been it. God first. Family second. Church or job third. And me, I come in last. Now, I ain't the only one who went to that school. Or graduated from that school. Well, I got to love God first. Hello, God. It's impossible to love. John picked this up and said, it is impossible for you to love a God you cannot see and do not like people you see every day. Because they're the same of God. Well, Brother Ralph, the Bible said you're not to think more highly of yourself as you ought. Now, I've asked some smart people this question. Just as smart as Keith and Joe, just as smart as Terry, just as smart as anybody, I've asked them the same question. Can you tell me what is an ought? The Bible said you're not supposed to love yourself more than you ought. What is an ought? I think what they're trying to say, Brother Ralph, is conceited. No, I think what they're trying to say is ego. See, ego has got to put me, myself, and I first, love first. That's ego. Spirit's agenda is loving. Spirit is love others. Do for others. Help others. Be a blessing to others. So you're not putting yourself ahead of everybody else. Like Jesus. How many believe he's the Son of God? How many believe he's your Lord and precious Savior? And yet he knelt down and took a towel, put himself around it, knelt down and washed his friend's feet. And said, now if you claim me to be your Lord and Savior, will do that to you, you ought to do that to each other. Now I remember the days back in the 70s, the religious folks, especially charismatic folks, we got a hold up, so we tried to wash people's feet, nasty feet and everything. And missed the entire meaning, essence of what it was saying. It ain't about washing no one's nasty feet. It's about humbling yourself down in front of them and serve them. And girt yourself with a towel. Now, we're talking about the same God in Jesus that created the world, humbled down to man. And you got the same church in these folks that you, I ain't gonna do it now. I done done. Because they are seeing the act and not the essence of it. Thank you. Are you with me? Now, the feet of people has so muddied the water, clouding the truths. Keep in mind that we are 75 to 86% water. So to muddy the water is in reality cluttering our minds. Let me say it again. Say it again, Sam. If I am, and every medical doctor would tell you, it's going which doctor you ask, but on a general census, we're anywhere from 76 to 83% pure water. And people with their theories in their minds, especially those that know Jesus, will so muddy up the water, because we all come from clay. They stir it, Bure. How many of you went to a pond, go swimming in a pond? And you can't wait till you get about 10 feet away from the bank, get away from that. Ooh, that stuff's sticking on me. That's the mind. That's the carnal mind. And it so muddied the water. Our waters, in essence, is muddying, clouding up our minds. To the point that we, like Pilate, we look at truth, hear truth, and say to truth, what is truth? Pilate, Now, the reason Pilate was confused is because his wife done sent him a message and said, had nothing to do with this man today. Then he's done got another message from Herod and said, I find no fault in him. Then the crowd out there saying, kill him, do away with him. And Jesus is telling him one thing. So Jesus is telling him something. Herod is telling him something. Crowd's hollering, screaming something. And his wife done sent him a message. As the old boy said, he done got confused. Muddied up the waters, muddied up his mind. Then he looked at truth, eyeball to eyeball, and asked truth, well, what is truth? How many wants a gold nugget? And Jesus didn't try to explain it to him again. Now, there's a scripture over in John chapter 9. Jesus told the Pharisees this one time, oh, Lord, if he told us that. Pharisees come to him and said, tell us again about eternal life. And Jesus said, I done told you once. Why should I tell you again? Ooh. So see, what I'm wanting to do today, one thing that's changed my coaching, I quit speaking the intellect of my clients. I speak directly into their spirit. Bypass the ego mind and go straight to the spirit. And that's what I'm doing this morning. There's more to you than you see. Well, I want it to manifest. Remember the law of the universe. Nothing happens until something moves. That's the law of the universe. Nothing happens anywhere in the universe except something first move. Albert Einstein picked that up and penned it about 2,000 years later. Nothing happens until something moves. What are you moving yourself towards? Now, Jason, I don't know, could you pull up a scripture now? It came to me on the way over here this morning. If you cannot, I promise you I will read it correctly. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. If you can find it in the King James Version. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Relations with yourself. Relations with yourself. How do you love yourself? How do you love yourself? What do you think of yourself? In the last 2 weeks, I pretty much asked every client I got, give from 1 to 10. 1 means, I like myself all right. 10 is I love myself. Give me a number where you at. Thank God the majority of it said 7. One said a lower number, but I knew she wasn't thinking. I said, okay, so let's draw a line at 7. Now, that's the starting line for you. Let's go up. Look at Ezekiel. And I, God, sought for a man or a woman among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, God, for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now, if we was an Andy Griffin and Otis, that's sober Otis up right there. I, God, sought for a man or a woman among themselves, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, land that I might, should not destroy it. Now, I believe that scripture was written by Ezekiel as he was meditating in the spirit that went back millions, thousands of years ago when Jesus raised his hand and said, I will. I will. I'll go and make up the hedge and stand the gap for the land. Now, I'm going to go another 10 minutes. Listen to me. Please hear me. You are spirit. You are word made flesh. You are God in the moment. The only reason you're afraid is because of the ego. The only reason you feel like you can't succeed is the ego. The only reason you're poor is because of the ego. The only reason you don't have nothing is because of the ego. It leads to poverty. And not poverty with how much money you got, poverty in a mindset. That's the poverty. Now as the Christ man, now as the Christ woman, he's still looking for someone to stand the gap and make up the hedge. Now, you are of love. Love is the ground from which you came out of. That's why it's observed. It is crazy to say, I command you to love. Command me to love? I'm of love. I'm created from love. But I really can't love until someone loved me first. That ain't the way it goes. That ain't how it happens. That's why I gave you the scripture. You got to have rejoicing in yourself and not in another. If nobody loved you, you better love you. We have a scripture that when David made a mistake, made a huge mistake. David made a big old boo-boo. As a military man, you can't make mistakes like this. He went chasing after the Philistines and took everybody with him and left the camp vulnerable for opening. And the enemy come down and got it. Now, David knew better than that as a military man. You can't do that. And when they got back, his army got back, they found the camp raided. They found everybody's gone. Their wives is taken captive. And believe me, they wasn't taken captive to be cooks. The children was taken to be slaves. And David, mighty men who's always loved him, right there with him, his elder board, thought of stoning him. Now we read all that and say, oh, I don't mean that. But let me tell you something. David had 50 mighty men that was mighty men. You wouldn't want them boys to come rock hunting for you. Especially them 12 of the 50 who was over the other 40, over the other 38. They thought about killing David, stoning David because of his mistakes. And you think because you charge too much. They ain't coming at you yet to kill you. They've come to kill David. And the Bible said, and there David learned a valuable lesson, Miss Lynn. He learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. There's going to be days when ain't nobody calling you, ain't nobody sending you no bell, ain't nobody think you cutesy. The only thing that's condemning you now is your mind. And your mind has become now a liar. And it's accusing you. And what's feeling bad about you is the ego. Because it's all about me, myself, and I. But David learned a valuable lesson. He learned how he'd encourage himself in the Lord. Do you even know how to encourage yourself? Well, I go to church. But what if you didn't have the church to go to? What if you didn't have no phone? Can you go sit in a corner and encourage yourself? I told you the school of positive thinking, how a lot of times I go downstairs in my office. I go into my bathroom downstairs. And if friends ever hear me say I'm in the bathroom, that means don't bother me. I mean, I'm not telling a grown person I got to go to the bathroom. It's code word for if anybody call, I ain't him. And I get in the bathroom and I stare in the mirror. My eyes, usually I take my glasses off. I can't see. If I stay away from the mirror, I got to get close to the mirror. And stare in my eyes until I see something in my eyes in that mirror looking back at me. And every time I begin to break and I begin to talk and I hardly ever tell him anything, I'm praising and thanking him for what he's already done. Then Frances hears the light go and she hears the fan go off and the door close. She knows now I done heard. I'm out. What do you do to encourage yourself? What do you do? Once you understand your essence, what you are, then, as Paul said, now you can have rejoicing in yourself and not in another. All you got to do is call up memories of you and God. And I really ain't going to baffle your mind by saying you can call up memories 10,000 years ago of you and God, but I ain't going to go there yet. You ain't read that cheese yet. Because you've always been. And you'll always be. Now, your love, are you with me? That's the ground. I want you to see your mind as a traffic cop. You're of love. You're from love. And you can only do two things with love that's pleasing to God. Two things with love. And you're love. You're not going to get love. You're not going to be like I was told in the 8th, 9th grade school, you're going to fall in love. And then you fall in, you'll fall out of. Love ain't something you fall into and fall out of. It's when your mind, your conscience become awakened that you always are love. Then you start having rejoicing with yourself and not another. Now there's two things you do with love that you're of. And that is forgiving and blessing. Forgiving and blessing. And you get to choose, am I going to forgive with this emotional feeling I got? Or am I going to bless somebody with this emotional feeling I got? I wrote someone the other day. I wrote something the other day. And I know in my spirit, half the religious people read it and say, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute. That's good. No, it ain't cute. It ain't cute. It's the truth. Jesus has so internalized God, like I preached last year. John 8:42. Jesus said, if you had known God as your Father, you would love me. The reason they're not loving him is because they're still worshiping their God and did not internalize him and see him as Father. So is he a God to you, or has you made him your Father? And Jesus has so much emotional feeling by internalizing God that he has such a strong emotional reaction to that. As we used to say in the Pentecost, I feel Jesus all over me. I feel God all over me. Let me and Buren talk about it several times. The old timers, they had it right. I feel Jesus up here in this place. No, he's feeling spirit up here in this place. They just didn't know what to do with it. Hear me. When Jesus so internalized God, has such an emotional feeling from his inner, rejoicing himself and not another, he didn't know what to call this sensational feeling, so he called it my Father. My Father. And then he took that emotional feeling he had of his Father and he released it in two dimensions: forgiveness towards everybody and blessing everybody. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Since I heard the news the other day in Charleston, South Carolina, of that boy shooting them nine, killing them nine people, my heart was so stricken, so saddened. All I can say is, forgive him. Forgive us. Forgive this environment. Forgive this society. Forgive this world we're living in now has become so out of whack, so negative. They really don't know. He didn't know what he was doing. When Jesus said that about the Roman soldiers, Father, while they're crucifying him, he didn't say that before they started. He said that to God. How many believe when Jesus prayed, it was just grammar? He knew they're going to write a book about him one day, so he needed to fill up some more pages with words. No, he meant it. Why don't you take yourself that serious? See, it ain't a Bible called a holy book, 66 books you'd be worried about living by. You'd be worried about living by the Bible you write every day that comes out of your mouth. That's the Bible you better be concerned about, is what come out of your mouth. Thank you for your enthusiasm. What kind of Bible you write? Do you have chapters of whining, complaining, trouble, confusion? Don't understand? See, a lot of our Bibles are filled with stuff like that. Because we're not mature enough yet. We're not mature enough yet to differentiate between the essence of the character and the acts of the individual. What if we, and I think we will, maybe we close, forgive the prejudices in this nation? Forgive it. What if I told you, which I heard years ago, I thought I knew what he meant. I didn't know what he meant, Bill. Standing right here in this church, 20 years ago, Kelly Varner said something to me, or said something to you. I'm sitting right there, Google, I listened to him. He said, let me tell you how God's going to forgive this planet. How God's going to save this planet. By forgiving it. How God's going to change things in your life. By forgiving it. And that's what you've got to do. Now, I look for a man, stand ahead, you make up the gap to do the same thing. See, all this thing, all now the cops, the racism. We looked at it in Baltimore about a month ago, and I told friends, I said, don't that remind you of 1966, 67, 68, all over again? Yep. You know why? Because we didn't learn it then. So we could go around this merry go bush again. And negativity, I don't know what they want. I just don't know what in the world they want. I just don't understand them. No, from your perspective, you can't. It ain't a matter of understanding them. It's a matter of forgiving and blessing and loving. And you are the same as God. You get to do that. Now, if you don't love yourself, it's hard to forgive other people and love them. I'm going to close with this. From yourself, there are three major outlets. You're an energy port. And from you is three major outlets. Love, which you are. Forgiveness and blessing. So I took what Brother Jim learned at the School of Positive Thinking last year. And every time I see him, he still say it. To me, in me, through me, from me. You got it, Jim. And I did this here, Jim. I took the three major outlets, and I so convinced these mindset of these three outlets to me, through me, in from me. So what I did, I wrote down hundreds and hundreds of times, I am love to everybody. I send love to everybody. I give love to all. I am to forgive everybody. I send forgiveness to everybody. And I give forgiveness to everybody. I am to bless everybody. I send blessings to everybody. And I give blessings to everybody. Now, I mean, wants a gold nugget. A blessing is not activated until it comes out of your mouth. You can't. I think I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless Adam today. No. No. I got to say it. Well, I'll just send him an email. Then I want to bless Adam up to 40%. But if I want it to be 100%, Adam, hey, it's Ralph. Adam, I just want to let you know what a blessing you are to me and how much I understand you. I understand you more than you understand you. And in me is no judgmentalism. In me, Brother Billy, is no judgmentalism. In me, Bill, is love to all. acceptance to all. How many got a text message from me this week? Telling you how wonderful your words are. Your words are stout. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to your words. Because they're stout. Get anything out of this today? Don't say you love God and don't love yourself. Don't say you really love God and don't love your neighbor. Let's all stand. Take the person's hand next to you. Now you can amen me if you agree with this. If you don't, ain't nobody going to say nothing. You can just keep looking pretty and be quiet. Forgive our land. I forgive our land. For the prejudice that's been around here for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's got nothing to do with color. Prejudice comes into being from two spirits, an inferior and a superior. And when a superior spirit tries to override an inferior spirit, that is prejudice in its purest form. Forgive the land of prejudice. Forgive the people for prejudice, for they do not know what they're doing. When I think about that church that's been around for over 160 years before the Civil War, and the thousands and thousands and thousands of humanity that's been blessed from this church, from the holy ground, then someone come in with a different agenda. Father, the only reason he could go in was because sin prevails in the land. Because of the collective consciousness of the land is still to destroy and not heal. Forgive me for not being that man that's standing in the gap to make up the hedge. I'm not praying for a nation to repent. I'm praying for me to repent. Individuals to repent. And to become the essence of love. Thank you for your swift healing. To all the family members now that's lost a loved one, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting them. But the sword in the land, let it be removed. As David prayed that the sword over Jerusalem would be stayed, I pray also, Father, that our land will be healed, our minds will be healthy, and my conscience will be awakened to there's more to me than I even now see. Thank you. As we bless everybody, love everyone, and heal everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I think we got a baptism or something.
Yeah. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the ushers to be coming to worship God with our giving. Thank you for helping us last week to make up some of our summer deficit. We're still behind several thousand dollars. If you fill your connection card out, please put it in the offering plate when it comes by. After this, we're going to have a water baptism. And tell you what, when I first started pastoring, 3/4 of the congregation was women and no men there. And it's just so good to see in the day and age we live in, fathers with their families in church serving God. And I seldom baptize anybody now, and I take great joy in that I don't have to do that. There's people who can baptize besides me. And Joey Groves was ordained about a year ago, and he's got the privilege today to baptize his grandkids. Isn't that awesome? And so we're just going to rejoice in this baptismal service and watch these kids do what the Lord asked them to do, to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for this offering. We bless it. We know, Lord, it goes to the kingdom of God and to see, Lord, that righteousness and peace and joy fills the earth and your glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. We love you, Lord, and we bless you in Christ's name.
Wow. Water baptism. I never thought this past year when I was ordained as a minister that I would be having this moment to be able to sit here and talk about water baptism with some young kids and Pastor Will and Pastor Holly. And here I am. So I'm just real excited about everything that's going to happen here in the next few minutes with all these kids. And I'm so thankful for what we have here at EWC with the kids, church, and just everybody that's involved. A little bit about water baptism is that there are really three parts, and it's the sacrament of the church. And the way I keep it in my head is it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's where God instructed us to go through this ordinance to bury our old self, and we become new on the resurrection. And just to listen to these kids talk about what they experienced when they asked Jesus into their heart is just a joy. So I'm just real excited for what's about to happen today.
Riley Grubbs, my parents are Lindsay Grubbs and Brandon Grubbs. I want to get baptized because I asked Jesus into my heart when I was in the car with my mama, and because God said so.
Just real quick, this morning I wanted to share a word of testimony from my part, because there was a time in my life when I felt I got to the point where I questioned God about everything. I got to the point to where I just wasn't sure what I believed and how I believed it and the things that were happening. And it wasn't an audible voice, but God said to me very clearly in my spirit, He said, "I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams." And I've been reminded of that several times during my life. And today is one of those. I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Is Addison Strickland, and my parents are Jessica Strickland and Kent Strickland. I asked Jesus into my heart when my mom was saying my prayers with me. Why I got wanted to get baptized is when God says so.
I bless you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Ty Strickland, and my mom and dad are Kate Strickland and Jessica Strickland. And I want to get baptized because I know that Jesus is into my heart, and that we see Him, that we feel Him into our heart, and that even though what you mess up on, that He's still proud of you, and that if you don't win, like, a race or something, he's still proud, and that we all the people that are getting baptized that are around here, that they know that Jesus is right there in their heart, and that they believe in Jesus, that it is into your heart.
Guy's small in stature, but he's big in the heart. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Ella Torres, and I want to, and my mom and dad's name is Jason Torres and Missy Torres, and I want to be baptized because I asked Jesus into my heart.
You in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, that's good preaching. Tell you what, let's stand together. We're going to worship God. They're going to dismiss us with a song. There's a drawing in the foyer for the fathers if you was given a ticket for a $50 gift card. But if you didn't get a ticket, see one of the ushers. They have them, and they'll put one in for you right quick. God bless you.